Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 6th, 2022. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. This reflection is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. When we last left Zechariah, he was unable to speak. He had been struck dumb by Gabriel because he had dared to wonder how in the world he and his wife Elizabeth, both advanced in age, were going to have a child, like the angel had promised. Fast forward. The child has been born. Oh, and if you were listening yesterday, you know that Elizabeth and Mary are cousins. That Mary, while she was expecting Jesus, had visited Elizabeth. And that John the Baptist had leapt for joy in utero, and that leaping for joy and this great greeting Mary had received caused her to break out in a song that we know as the Magnificat. And now we pick up the story back with Zechariah and Elizabeth. John, who will become known as John the Baptist, has been born, and there's this opportunity to name the child. Elizabeth says, "His name is John," and all of her relatives say, "There's nobody in your family by this name." "Ask his father," someone says. They look around for a writing tablet. They hand it to Zechariah, and he writes on the tablet, "His name is John." At that moment, Zechariah's tongue is loosed. His muteness is over, and he has plenty to say. In fact, Luke records what has come to be called the Song of Zechariah. It is a word of prophecy, a word of blessing over this newborn named John. And here's a portion of that song. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." That's quite a charge to put over a baby, but it is a proclamation of faith on the part of Zechariah. It is a proclamation of hope. It is a proclamation born in his vision of Gabriel way back a few months prior. Zechariah had likely been one of the most incredulous of priests, but having had this angelic encounter, having had this gift of a child bestowed upon him and his wife when they were long past childbearing age, plus all the things that were happening with Elizabeth's cousin Mary, it had all undoubtedly filled Zechariah with hopefulness and joy and expectation. I like to think that having spent 9 months without being able to talk, that when the gift of speech was suddenly restored to him, Zechariah couldn't shut up. He couldn't stop proclaiming the good news that he had received in the form of this child. And so we, like Zechariah, stand and sit and ponder this great gift, the gift of a son to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who we will come to know as John the Baptist. The last verse of our reading for today has this line: "The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel." That's all we know of John's childhood and early adulthood. We know that at some point he made his way to the wilderness, and in a few verses, a couple of chapters over, we're going to encounter John again. This time, not as a baby in the arms of his father being blessed, but rather baptizing any and all who will come to the wilderness to hear him preach and who will commit to repentance. John remains in the wilderness until the advent of his public ministry. And it's interesting to me here on this first Sunday in Lent that is a part of our Eucharistic celebration. We read the story of Jesus being in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. The wilderness plays a big role in Luke's telling of the gospel story because it's a way in which he puts the message of the gospel in context with the story of the people of Israel. So John is in the wilderness, the place where prophets go to be alone with God, the place prophets go to hear a word from God, the place prophets go to really hone their message in communion with God. And so John is in the wilderness as a person about to begin prophetic ministry. We are, as many people like to characterize Lent, in the Lenten wilderness. But it's a different kind of wilderness, isn't it? You see, we're mostly aware of the season of Lent just at church. Because sure, we journey through Lent, but while we're moving through Lent at church, we're also journeying through the rest of our lives, through school or work or household duties or familial challenges. We're still living our lives one day at a time, even as the church moves through the wilderness of Lent. But as I'm reflecting on Zechariah's prophecy over John, I'm thinking it's helpful for us to reflect about how the church can embody this same sort of prophetic ministry, the same sort of ministry that Zechariah sees for his son, the sort of ministry that brings people the knowledge of salvation, that reminds them their sins can be forgiven through the tender mercy of God, the sort of ministry which takes the light of the gospel and shines it into the darkened corners of our world, the sort of ministry where people can know that there is hope, that people can know that there is new life, that people can know that new opportunities are a part of this good news. The sort of message, the sort of proclamation that puts our feet on the right path, that puts our feet on the path to walk the way of peace. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose beloved Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weakness of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.